What do I think of her?
Yes.
I don't think of her. Bless a red wine and a swisher. I think you get the picture. Bitch. Here I go.
Oh. Right about that in the New York fucking Post.
2, 1. And hello.
Hello, Boston hello, has, hello.
Put together a fabulous lineup for me today where I just get to sit back and enjoy
little
the stink, metaphorical and literal stink of these episodes. I talked so much during the main episode. I was like, it's only justified that you punish me in return. You put me on the stake and you
I have a feeling you have a lot to say. Like, I'm going to start it.
Oh, I will.
Actually,
I'm gonna try and
let me tell you why you're wrong and why this is actually what's going on
here. So tell us what's happening now. What's the episode today?
I thought we'd spend this leftovers talking about the entire Kristen Bell and Dax Shepard industrial complex that has been like forced down our throats over the last few weeks specifically. As many of you guys probably know, there was this article about Kristen Bell and Dax Shepard saying that they wait for their kids to stink before bathing them.
Kunis and Ashton Kutcher also said something similar.
Yeah, there's like definitely a line. I mean, this would be its own deep dive of celebs that basically like pride themselves on being like dirty and gross and having alternative ways to bathe themselves and others around them.
Right.
But there was a from Page Six specifically. Sorry, I just love the copy here. Like, we have to say it. What's that smell? Kristen Bell joked that she and Dax Shepard used to wait for their daughters, 8-year-old Lincoln and 6-year-old Delta, to start giving off body odor before bathing them. Quote, I'm not going to comment
on their child named Delta. I won't.
It's absolutely too much. Quote, I'm a big fan of waiting for the stink, she laughed on Tuesday's episode of The View. Once you catch a whiff, that's biology's way of letting you know that you need to clean it up, the actress, 41, explained. There's a red flag. Honestly, it's just bacteria. Once you get bacteria, you got to be like, get in the tub or the shower. Apparently, when she was on The View, she was referring to Mila Kunis and Ashton Kutcher's admission on Shepherd's Armchair Expert podcast, which is probably one of the worst podcasts ever, that they only bathe their children when they were visibly dirty. Bell added, quote, so I don't hate what they're doing. I wait for the stick. Shepherd also mentioned, quote, we bathed our children every single night prior to bed as their routine. Then somehow they just started going to sleep on their own without the routine. And we had to start saying to each other, like, hey, when was the last time you bathed them? Page Six, of course, reports that for what it's worth, the American Dermatology Association says that children aged 6 to 11 bathe at least once or should bathe at least once or twice a week.
Okay, but let's just say that it says at least. At least. Okay, not at most, at least.
Yes, depending on like what they're doing as well, right? Then there's a whole weird thing that about how their kids like drinking Shepherd's non-alcoholic beer, because if I believe correctly, Dax Shepard has talked about before how he was an alcoholic and is, you know, has been sober now for a while. But I guess the kids like to drink his non-alcoholic beer, and it's very quirky of them that it looks like they're drinking booze. And they're like, how could I, you know, what do other parents think of me? Blah, blah, blah. Relatable content, etc. But what I don't necessarily want to talk about, like, the cleanliness of their own children, because, like, that's their own prerogative, and they're too rich to probably suffer any actual issues of, like, you know, not being dirty. But, like, generally speaking, it's just weird. Like, it's a weird thing, I think, that they like go on this press tour about, basically, and every blog has to talk about. And then also, wait, actually, Ashlyn, our producer, very much mentioned, like, basically by the time they start hitting puberty, like, that's definitely a disgusting thing to let your kids do.
But also,
because, like honestly, like, your kids be getting stinky. Like, oh my god, I remember in middle school some kids were just fucking gross, and I'm like, you probably were showering often. They still smell terrible.
But to be specific, Ashlyn also notes that you don't really like start smelling until you hit puberty to begin with. So like,
yeah,
truly, how long are they going at age 6 years old to actually smell, like physically smell? Wait, well, what is like, this quote? I want to say this really quick. They have a 15-minute break where they're allowed to jump around and grab a snack and wiggle it out. I walk in to check on them at 9:30, and both of them are drinking and O'Doul's on their Zooms. They're both just sipping their Doulies, and I'm like, what was
the non-alcoholic beer?
You're welcome to tell me I'm a terrible parent. I don't care. I'm a great parent, I think. I'm learning every day.
So, like, I don't necessarily want to get into, like, I don't know, like, the history or the science of, like, the dermatology of it all. Like, I don't care. But what I noticed when I was looking this up and was just generally kind of bopping around is that there was a lot of very weird press about Dax Shepard and Kristen Bell and parenthood and their children, whatever. And I just wanted to go through these People articles that I found that were basically printed every like day and a half about them, leading up to something that we'll definitely get into in a bit. So I'm just going to read some of these verbatim because they're absolutely horrendous. From People, Kristen Bell jokes she's busted after Dax Shepard calls out her toilet paper snafu. Kristen Bell and Dax Shepard have no problem being open about when they're not on the same page. This is a real article, by the way. It's fully verbatim here. On Sunday, Bell shared a few videos of her latest conversation with her husband, where he hilariously busted her on leaving toilet paper on the seat after using the bathroom. What was the intention? Shepard, 46, asked Bell in the first clip, showing a piece of toilet paper sitting on the toilet seat. Was it to be in the toilet bowl or in the trash can? Because now that I have to finish the task you started, I just want to make sure I do it correctly. The actress responded, obviously, I didn't care, as she pushed the tissue into the toilet, and the couple laughed. Good to know. And in the future, always, that's where it was supposed to go, he responded. It's just so stupid. Like, literally, this is a three-part Instagram video that is on their, I think it's on Jack Shepard's Instagram specifically, of literally just them documenting the, like, you know, minute, like, moments where they're, like, disagreeing about, like, how they're literally throwing toilet paper away in their home. Like, it's literally bottom of the barrel content here. Kristen Bell even says, it was so dark in here. It's dark here a lot, and apparently that just happens, I don't know, 4 or 5 days out of the week. And then Kristen Bell continued, peeing is such a waste of time. So when I'm in there, I'm just looking to get off as quickly as possible and wrap it up. Her husband followed up, adding, and you just let the toilet paper go wherever it goes. It's absolutely stupid. So, and also related news, there is literally every few days they're posting about this, and there's a reason why. There's another whole article that I won't get into, basically about Dax Shepard and his daughter singing Adele's Hello during an RV trip. It's literally just, again, like a dumb Instagram post, basically, of them being cute as a family. They're on some RV. They, I guess, were talking to Jimmy Kimmel about, you know, getting an RV and getting back into nature. And there's definitely a whole connection, I feel like, with, I don't know, this generation. What generation are Dax Shepard and Kristen Bell? Like, what would we call them? Is that like Gen Y adjacent?
No, they're Gen X.
No, isn't Gen X like before Gen Y? That's like even older. I'm pretty sure they're like in their, what, early 40s at this point.
What Gen X was born between 65 and 80.
So okay, people 41 yeah.
to 56.
Okay, yeah. So it is Gen X. You're right.
Dax
you're right.
Shepard age. He but was like 46. So like, yeah, I would say him and Kristen Bell are like Gen like X right for sure. In that.
Yeah. So it's definitely giving like, so there's this whole thing where they're talking with Jimmy Kimmel about like purchasing a motorhome. And obviously, I guess Jimmy Kimmel did it as well. And they basically talk about how like, you know, it's a way of getting back into nature. And, you know, like the bus is a good way for them to like have family time together. And, you know, a big thing that they always talk about is how they don't, you know, keep their kids' faces in photos. They always put like a sticker or something on them, basically to keep them out of the public eye. So it's very like cutesy, you know, cool stuff. And then what basically, as I was doing this research, also came upon was some gossip that was basically talking about their relationship together and how like there's probably some type of PR here going between People and Dax and Kristen to prepare for something. So what I saw just today, and this is what ties all together, is Dax Shepard and Kristen Bell said they have a code word for when family game nights get heated. This is from People again, of course. Dax Shepard and Kristen Bell are bringing out their competitive sides. The couple's new NBC game show, Family Game Night, is set to premiere Sunday following the Olympics closing ceremony. Throughout the 10-episode series, Bell and Shepard will part ways and be adopted into a family of four to help the team win $100,000. I think we're equally competitive, Shepard tells People ahead of the series premiere, while his wife adds, we're both at about a 10, which is the highest you can get on that scale. The Good Place actress shares that the contestants on the show range from a group of siblings to a team of firefighters. We have some awesome families. We got doctors, we got a group of teachers, we got a group of firefighters, military moms, we got siblings, we just got some awesome friends who call each other family, and we really want them all to win $100,000, she says. As for how the As for how the family game night goes at home with their two daughters, the competitive pair says things can get out of hand sometimes. We have some code words at home when games get heated to calm everyone down, Belle says. If we notice temperatures are starting to flare, someone says anaconda, and then everyone else has to go, it's just a game, which generally makes you more angry. It doesn't really work, but it was an attempt. You can hear like the inflection here of how they like, you know, talk about this quirky moment. It makes the three people who aren't angry laugh and the person who's on fire ablaze, Belle says. We've wrapped some games at our house because we've just gone, this isn't worth it. It's not worth the fights we get into. And then Shepherd jokes, no one can afford a divorce. And that's like the end of the interview about this. It's kind of odd too that they're kind of admitting that they basically have like, they get into full fights with their family on game night. And that's why this show makes a lot of sense for them.
Yeah.
But I definitely found it kind of sus in general that there's these like endless promo between like people and them that are covering basically these like, I don't know, very like now this Facebook mom adjacent posts of like, you know, exciting stuff that the family's doing. That's just super relatable. But I found through some blinds and through Gossip Cop as well, that there's basically been some like insider tea that this whole persona they're trying to like project is starting to like affect their home life. Specifically from Gossip Cop, there's an inside source that claims the quote success is taking a toll on their home life, implying that their relationship has become more transactional than an equal partnership. The source also says they become Dax and Kristen Incorporated. There are more projects, more people on the payroll, and a lot more pressure. Shepherd's podcast Armchair Expert just entered a multi-year exclusive agreement with Spotify, while Belle is busy with the Gossip Girl reboot, the coupon scam film Queen Pins, and the upcoming series Do Re Mi and The Woman in the House. The outlet brought up Kristen Bell's most recent appearance on The Ellen Show, where she told guest host Chelsea Handler that she and her husband rely on therapy to keep their marriage healthy and sustainable. Quote, but what she didn't say is that, this is from the insider source, but what she didn't say is that they're getting really on each other's nerves and are often at each other's throats. Also having to deal with Dax's ongoing addiction problems. Dax and Kristen are becoming what they used to hate, and that's a power couple defined almost totally by their careers. It's stressing them to the max. And I just want to get your thoughts on this because, like, I think we talk about this a lot on the show, we talk about this a lot on the show, basically, with the ways that celebrities and families, and like we just discussed in the main episode with Marvel being like this family friendly adventure and this stuff and keeping this image, that like, I want to know what you think on Dax and Shepherd specifically, because I think I know you hate them very much in a very specific way. And I want to know what your kind of take is on this, knowing that there's like this new show coming up and that they're like maintaining this public image.
I do not understand the appeal of these people outside of like extremely normie culture, like propaganda. Like, I really have tried to understand what it is about them that makes people just go hog wild. And like, I just can't understand it at all. It's like, they remind me of like just the parents that I never wanted to be around, of like my school friends, or like, you know, like that one mom who got like really into the PTA meetings or the bake sales and like would have everyone on an extremely aggressive email chain. I was obviously never a part of that, but I'm just, you know, fictionalizing my childhood here because of trauma. The trauma of knowing about these two. So like, I don't know what it is about them that incites this kind of coverage, but they exist within this niche of celebrity where it's almost like parenthood has replaced their traditional avenue of fame, which is like being in things that people watch. I mean, obviously, I would say Kristen Bell is a more accomplished actress than Dax Shepherd is an accomplished actor. And so I don't want to discredit the fact that she has done like a lot of shows that people watch.
But they both also have like NBC money, like The Good Place and Parenthood. Yeah. And
I mean, and you know what? I'll say one of the few people that watched Parenthood to the end, and I thought it was an enjoyable look at extremely niche problems for people I would never know.
No, I actually also stand by that show was pretty good. I will not lie.
But, you know, it's funny because the kind of thing that this incites in people is best evidenced for me in my career by like one time a year ago, I lightly covered a blind item from, not blind item, an item in page six about how these people were landowners and like they rented out a bunch of properties in central LA, which is like right in the heart of like the part of LA that's like currently being rapidly gentrified by developers. And like, I just made a jokey headline where I was like, Dax Shepard and Kristen Bell outed as landlords. And like, it was more like I was being funny. And in the piece,
oh,
I like lightly
mad
ripped
when you said that.
On the
I
idea that,
that
like people shouldn't be allowed to be landlords. Like you shouldn't be allowed to own property in Los Angeles and rent it to other people, especially like homes that you tore down and replaced with like three story condos that you're renting out for a bajillion dollars to like white gentrifiers. Like, I don't know. That just doesn't seem like something you should legally be allowed to do. And I was obviously being like my tongue in cheek Jezebel self, but also like I was being a little bit like I was being more serious also in the sense like how many actors do we know that are actually landlords, right? Like, I bet this is more than just Dax Shepard and Kristen Bell, and they are indicative of a larger problem in Hollywood rather than like a very specific example. I mean, it's rather than a very niche example or a solitary example. And so it, I think, was like one of the most commented on blogs that year. People were furious with me. I was getting death threats in my emails saying like my entire family worked their whole lives to buy six apartment buildings in Chicago, and we all care about our tenants so much. How dare you criticize landlords? I was getting people like literally trying to get me fired from Jezebel for like inciting hatred against landlords.
Well, because you're like anti-girl boss, obviously. Like, that's
I
where it
even
came
had
in here.
This guy who has like a real estate podcast email like everyone in management and me, basically being like, are you seriously saying that landlords should be guillotined? And I responded with like a Marx quote about landlords and land ownership. And he goes, are you fucking with me or are you being serious? And actually, I want to read this email. Give me like five seconds.
Actually.
I was like, no, I'm actually being serious.
While you look that up, I was going to say.
He made an entire podcast about me.
That is far too much energy to put.
That's how mad he was.
By the way, Kristen Bell and Dax Shepard have a combined net worth of $40 million, which I feel like is low because, like, Kristen Bell is literally on every fucking commercial I've ever seen on Hulu. Like, I quickly just Googled, like, on Google Video or whatever. Also Frozen, like, Frozen, first of all. Like, I think she would have gotten $40 million for Frozen.
Kristen Bell?
Yes, but also just commercial wise, she's done like Enterprise for like a bajillion years. She did American Express ads. She did even like Happy Dance CBD skincare, which like what even is that? She also just did like a Samsung Family Hub, you know, ad with Chris, you know, with her man Dax Shepard. Also Samsung like AdWash TV. All these just like bizarre things, but things that pay her a lot of money. I mean, she's been doing this Enterprise ads for like 5+ years. You know, even like the Neutrogena Hydro Boost or Hello Bell, like all these random products, Lazy Boy. It's just like, how much is enough money at this point? I don't understand. And then he has this multi-year deal with Spotify, which obviously is a fat chunk of change as well. And I know this from just like podcast industry tea, is that like those people who are on the top, like the Joe Rogans and stuff, they make like millions of dollars per episode for these podcasts. These are pretty high budget, you know, like productions here with the ads, revenue and everything.
So here's what Justin Brady at justinbrady.com had to say. Hi, Joan. I'm not an avid Jezebel reader, but I wanted to ask you about your landlord piece on Kristen Bell and Dax Shepard. Was the following paragraph an attempt at humor, or do you believe being a landlord is truly questionable or possibly immoral? Here is the quote. Quote, I
you
won't
really
argue whether or not...
You really chumped him, you know? He's interested.
I said, I won't argue whether or not owning land is immoral, because everyone seems to get so riled up at the mere mention of a Marxist analysis on the subject. But it should be easily agreed upon that accumulating rental profit from the wages of people likely making far, far less than you is at best a tad questionable. So then I sent him a link to Marxist.com, and it was it was Marx's Economic and Philosophical Manuscripts of 1884 on the rent of land. And it's like a 30-page document. It's like,
amazing.
Read that. Like,
get it. Come back to me after you read this.
And then I was asked to not engage with it further, which I had a really hard time complying with. But yeah,
well, the Justin Brady like, show has about 20 ratings over a 5-year period, so not much to worry about there in terms of
I know. I'm so glad to have 4 people that listen to that podcast about me. But yeah, it just is funny because that's actually besides. So it was that piece and a piece that I did about the 4th of July stand as the pieces I have received the absolute most hate mail and death threats. And like, and I mean, like, listen, people get serious death threats and I don't want to diminish that. But like, you know, when you get like some person in your inbox that's like PatriotEagle646@hotmail.com and it's like, I wish death on you, you evil liberal scum. It's kind of like, okay, sure. Like, whatever.
It's just something weird how like the Dax Kristen like intersection brings out like these really awful people.
Yeah.
Like it truly is like the Facebook comment section of like people, I don't know, like it really is those like viral videos that like people, random people on Facebook from the Midwest write like paragraphs on.
You're in line at Safeway and you're like, who's buying Us Weekly's cover on Dax and Kristen Bell? And it's literally, I don't want to make any definitive statements here, but a lot of people who have probably posted hashtag MAGA on Facebook of all places. Like their profile picture is an American flag with an eagle on fire. Like, I don't know, that's some dumb shit.
Well, it's just funny too, because they have this show called like Family Game Night, and it's like, you know, absolutely nothing different than anything NBC's ever made in terms of a game show. Just like Grimes's pivot to like hosting a game show on Fox is going to be just as like banal and uninteresting. But this show is literally just them paired up with a group of like a family, each one of them. So like Kristen's on one family, Dax on the other. And the whole thing is that like Dax and Kristen like bicker with each other slash like compete with each other to help the other families. So it's very much that like, oh, you know, like wifey is like this, you know, husbando is like this. Like it gives very much that energy and it's extremely cringy. And it just only makes sense that they've basically done some type of, I would say clearly paid and or incentivized partnership with people to produce these articles over the last few weeks that are literally just creating like viral shareable content that, you know, moms and dads can share on Facebook and be like, oh my God, so relatable of them. Like my daughter Delta variant plus is also like doing the same thing here. Also, I have some blinds.
You called that child Delta variant plus. You should literally go to hell. Okay, read these.
Let me keep it on leftovers.
I'm wresting this control from you.
Please.
Blind items revealed, number 3. Quote, this B-list actor told a friend the other day the same thing he told someone else 6 months ago. He would be scared to leave his A-plus actress wife because of the world of hurt she would cause him if he did. So he sticks with it. Ugh. Another one. They almost got divorced the last time this actor got injured in a motorcycle. You would almost think he continues to do it on purpose to get divorced.
These are all revealed blinds, by the way. Like,
actress
confirmed.
Likes to pretend she is totally a hands-on parent, but she has tutors supervising her kids during online school. Oh, that one seems a little sexist. I do find it funny that this A-minus list dual threat actress, who you all know, says one of her biggest pet peeves is people using coupons in line in front of her, and now she is getting a massive paycheck to be a champion for it.
That's actually really funny.
That one's
that
really
very
good.
Much gives me an insight that I feel I cannot at all physically describe. I love
I
that.
I hate you. Can we leave? I don't want to talk to you anymore. Wait, let's get some insider tea. So like, you know, they pay for exclusive access to have a parasocial relationship with us. So I wanted to say that Lawson and I hung out this weekend or this last weekend. And I was telling our producer while you were, I don't know what you were doing while in the break between recording the main episode, but like going you guys were like straight up eating sushi and I was ordering mashed potatoes off of KFC because I had just got my wisdom teeth out.
That's
the day
not before. Even what it was. We were eating Korean barbecue.
Well, no,
we fully had a grill.
Night.
Oh, yeah, you guys, yeah, that's true. We did order sushi the second night.
Fully a Korean barbecue at home moment. And I'm like sitting there like
well, eating a KFC biscuit.
KFC biscuits and mashed potatoes because I'll die if I eat anything else. I'll pull all my stitches out. But then we also played a lot of Sekiro, which was fun. And me and Chris, oh, yeah,
now that you're like
that you live
a
with,
full yeah. from software like truther, honestly, like
we played like the modded version of Skyrim, like we were fucking 12 years old. Like that was exciting.
That was pretty iconic, but, honestly.
Yeah, it was funny because we had gone up there to. Well, I'm starting a new job, so I had to do some stuff at the job on that Monday. And I was like, well, why don't I spend the whole weekend with you guys for free? And then also I was like, maybe I'll look at apartments. Like, maybe I'll do something in that realm. But, you know, I just got my wisdom teeth out and we're only here for a couple days and we don't really have a lot of money. So, like, maybe not. And then on the very last day, we had like, I think we were leaving in like 10 hours at most. Maybe
not even
6 hours.
You were looking at like, places like at 10 a.m. and you had to be out of the house at like 2 o'clock. It was like a few hour window.
And so
and you found like, something.
Your partner and I at like 9:30, I was like, oh, can you show me like where on this map like I should look for apartments so that I can be kind of in your guys' area? And Pierce like literally had pulled up like the very first listing when we adjusted the settings. And listen, guys, I don't know if you've ever lived in a big city, but also like if you have, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. The apartments that are the hardest to get are the apartments that list like 6 different property rental companies before listing like anyone you can contact. They're like, send in a $70 application fee to this email and then go here and apply online. And then maybe someday we'll talk to you. But like if those places list like, hey, talk to Kathy and here's her phone number. Like those are the places that you're going to get rented.
That. Yes.
So I looked at your partner Pierce and I was like, OK, I'm just going to call this lady. Like, who knows? Right. Like maybe something will come of it. So I called her and within seconds, she's like, I just got off of a run, but I could be over there in like 5 minutes. And so I screamed. I was like, OK, great. Sounds good. I hung up and I'm like, Matt, Matt, not you. Get your clothes on. And so we rush out the door.
You were literally like, I'll be there in 5 minutes. Like she was in, I mean, thank God we live 5 minutes away from where this place was, but you guys were like throwing everything together last second.
I'm rushing to get dressed. Like I'm trying to find something I can wear that's not in just ridiculous looking because I only packed thought clothes because it's like 90 degrees out. And so we go, we look, and I apply while we're there. I come back and I'm doing all the like application and whatnot. And then I was like, well, God willing, we get it. I mean, like, just kind of on a whim. I wasn't expected to apply to anything. And not even 24 hours later, she asks us to
not
sign the lease.
Even. She had called me, like, the next morning and was like, oh, does Joan work at so-and-so? And I'm, like, fully lying as if I'm your boss at this at your new job. And I'm like, yeah, she works here. And then I was trying to give, like, some extra detail. Like, yeah, I know she's moving right now. And I used to work with her here. And she was like, I just need to know if she works there. And I was like, okay. And then she just hung up on me. And I was like, okay. I think that went well. And then you had texted me like an hour later with like the security deposit form already being sent to you, which is so iconic, honestly. But to anyone who's trying to move, I can't speak for New York or LA. I know it's obviously just awful as well. I'm sure it's the same. But in the Bay Area, as somebody's moved a bunch of times and you have moved like 10 times in this hellhole, it is like full on. Like, I don't even know. It's like a nature documentary. Like, you go to an open house and there's like 30 other people there and everyone is basically competing to be the ideal person and individual that is willing to put up somehow $10,000 up front to secure a place.
I got the tea from the landlord. So apparently, like, I mean, you guys were kind of talking about this too, but like, and also our friend Catalina, who we hung out with during our little barbecue session, like a lot of people really wanted to live in the Bay Area, right? And a lot of people were because of work and because of needing to be close to the companies in the Bay Area.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've been living in the Bay Area for like almost, it'll next, at the end of this year, it'll be almost 9 years. And I have always had a hard time, like literally, because the rent goes up every year. More and more people are in competition with you for like an increasingly limited. Yeah.
There's starting to be like 3 to 4 times the rent needs to be in verifiable income. Like you need to have pay stubs that show you that the rent is about a third or a fourth of your income. And I'm like, yeah, that doesn't exist. And who is this like place, this?
Literally, like she was like, oh, you're the first people we've shown it to all week. And I was like, really?
Yeah,
and
then wait,
when I was talking to the landlord on the phone, she said that because so many people have left the Bay Area, specifically where we live, and because it's been this mass exodus, like they're having a really hard time renting out apartments, which is why I'm getting it.
I should just move to get a deal at this point, because you're really paying like a hundreds, if not a thousand, less than they could have done in 2019.
Probably. It's insane. And I mean, I'm locked into that because the building is rent controlled, so they can't raise my rent. So like, oh, I'm just excited for that. And also just the idea that like the Bay Area is going to be a little bit more like how I'm used to it being from when I was younger, when it wasn't like so stuffed with techies. I mean, obviously those people still exist. Like the exodus in question is minor in the grand scheme of things, but it was, I think, the first time I've ever looked at an apartment and not felt the like looming pressure that I was competing with 100 other people.
Oh, for,
like,
I've been to an apartment showing where straight up there was a couple that would just start talking about their humanitarian work and how they basically were helping starving children survive, and that they make, they're saying their income casually, like, yeah, I make like $200,000 a year, and like what I do is basically like solve world hunger. And you're just sitting there like broke as shit, your job is like minimum wage, you're like lying that you have any references, and your co-signer is your mom if you're lucky, and you're just like, but what about me, like I also need this. Or people with children who are literally like, we've looked at 10 places and we're gonna be on the street, we need a place for our daughter, and you're like, okay,
yeah, it's awful. No, it's hard. It's like awful. Hard.
And you somehow did it in 24 hours with no competition, and it was a deal, and it's like 5 minutes from my house. Power. It's actually my insane. Power. It's insane.
So yeah, that's nice, because like, you know, leaving Jezebel's weird because I thought I was going to do it for the rest of my life, and things just don't go that way. And, you know, I'm leaving on my own terms. Like, I say this in my goodbye post because I just wanted to put it all there, but I'll say it here too, that like, I want to leave with my happy memories still intact, and everyone can read between the lines of what that means. Like, I want to leave on a good note where I feel proud of what I've done, and I don't want to leave soured on anything in any way. And I mean, I think all jobs are difficult, and there's always going to be complications with whatever you do. But like, it just is weird because I really thought I was going to do that forever. I really thought that I was just going to be what I did. You know, I found that job so randomly. It felt like a bolt from the blue when I got it. And then I've just been feeling weird this last month. Like, what am I going to do with myself? And where are we going to go? And, you know, it's been nice having the podcast to go back to normal life with, because it feels more like what I'm supposed to be doing. But also this move back, and especially where we are and how close I am to you. It's almost nice because it's like I'm giving up this very specific stage in my life that I overestimated how long it was going to be for. And I'm kind of returning to, I think, a more simpler existence, but ultimately one that I find more fulfilling and closer to what I'm really supposed to be doing anyways. Cause like the daily blog grind was hard. Like the amount of content we produce on a daily basis is difficult.
There's this weird like perception I think people have of media jobs where, and I mean, I can't necessarily fully relate because I was not doing that kind of daily blogging or daily coverage work, but I know from your experience, definitely, and from many others I know, that it is really just like a conveyor belt of ideas and a conveyor belt of work, of writing, of researching, of also dealing with the slog and the SEO of working for a big company. Like, it's not as, I guess it's not as rosy as people would think it is what I'm trying to say. And you've definitely confirmed with me that it's hard work and it's not something anyone can just do.
I was telling Chris, like, it's going to be interesting because before, when it was just us and the podcast and our rinky dinky little tech jobs that we were doing to survive, like, we just talked about whatever we wanted, and there was no pressure to like, I have to have like 40 million ideas a day. And then I got the job at Jezebel, and it's really been like, for a long time, oh, I like that TV show. Oh, shit, I like that TV show. I'm going to have to write about it. Oh, yeah. I had this funny thought. Oh, that's not my funny thought anymore. I'm going to have to write that down and share that funny thought with like 100,000 other people.
Organize it in a way that's palatable and acceptable in medium I'm gonna you also have. To make it unlike SEO on the show friendly, where you can do whatever you want. Friendly. You know?
Yeah. And like, I'm going to have to not make too many people angry, but just enough that they're going to click on it and read it and make the company money. It's like all that kind of stuff starts to wear you down after a while. It like sucked all the fun out of my life where I just felt like I was doing things to go through the motions of knowing about them and writing about them rather than because I really wanted to engage with them in a meaningful way. And I just doing this again, the podcast and the Patreon, it just is like, oh, this is the kind of stuff I actually like talking about, but I don't feel the pressure to be like on about it. I can just talk and enjoy it and be with you in this moment and talk about it however we feel. And then we pack up the mics and we go home. You know, like that's exciting.
I love it. Honestly, I do. And also there's something very different, I think, about just talking and like having to like shoot the shit and be fun with, you know, each other versus like formally writing all this dumb shit we talk about. Not to say what you're writing was bad or that it was any dumb shit. It was amazing and iconic and legendary. Good. But, you know, there's just the je ne sais quoi of this is going to be a lot more fulfilling, I think.
But if you guys are listening, don't start tweeting at me tomorrow because it's going to make me emotional. Wait until I post my goodbye post on Friday because I don't want to make it like a whole like 2-day long affair. Like I'd rather like Friday. Just keep it to Friday when I, you know, share the news officially. It's not a secret at this point because if you're any one of our friends, you already knew like a week ago. But yeah. Yeah, that's it. That's all. Okay. No more parasocializing. We don't know any of you and you're not our friends and I don't ever want to speak about it ever again.
Yeah, fuck off.
Fuck off.
Get out of here.
Thank you guys for coming to Patreon once again. And thank you all for paying for this and all of you who have come back to us to listen to these episodes. I really appreciate it and it's been really exciting. We are going to be hoping to do more of these. I got a little bit behind on Podwives, excuse me. We're going to be doing a double episode next week because I got yet another surgery in my wisdom teeth. And then I also got a new job and I moved. So once we talked about again, like not overpromising, that's why, because this is the kind of stuff that comes up and I don't want to put the pressure on us to have to like be, I don't know, sticking to some archaic schedule for ourselves that doesn't really do anything but hurt us in the end. So this has been Eating for Free, the bonus episode. You know who we are. We don't have to plug anything. Kiss my ass. Do you want to do the outro with me?
Yes.
Three, two,
one.
One.
Hi.
My name is BB Rex. Rexha, and I'm doing in the studio.
Oh my God. Before. You fucked it up. I'm in the studio doing something I've never done before.
And it was a Lay's potato chip ad. It was a Lay's potato chip ad. Okay,
and
let's get the fuck out of here.
Impact knows no bounds. Bye.
I'm cutting you off, bitch.
Come on, if you know the words, let's go.
What do I think of her?
Yes.
I don't think of her. Bitch. Bless a red wine and a
swisher. I think you get the picture. Bitch. Here I go. Oh.
So Lawson, this is that Trinity K. Bonet talent portion of the Miss Continental pageant.
Yes.
I think it's 2017. I was telling you about it in the main episode, but this is like when people were saying like, wow, Trinity did such a good Beyonce. I was like, no, bitch, real drag fans will know that Trinity has made a name for herself in the pageant circuit doing Beyonce. So this is one of the Beyonces that she has done. And we'll link this in the description of this for on Patreon so you guys can watch with us. But okay, 3, 2, 1, play. And also you might notice Kennedy Davenport is there.
Already amazing. Trip in America. 60 nonstop minutes across the tracks of your mind
into the exciting world of soul with guest star. I love pageant talent. It's like one of my favorite things to watch on YouTube. Oh, is someone's mic on out loud? There we go.
Oh my God, yes.
This outfit with the fringe, like...
Come through, movement. She's like so good lip syncing. It's ridiculous.
I know this whole choreography by heart. I've seen this video so many times. So this is Beyonce, obviously, but get ready. You have no idea what's happening. I'd love the, like, extremely low-budget dancers in the background. It's very slow train.
The budget went goes to Trinity.
Here we go, bitch.
We have an outfit reveal, honey.
Oh, here we go, bitch.
Oh, yes.
No, look into the camera. Iconic. The head tilt.
I'm living for these, like, little bopping, like, dancers on the side.
Now, watch this choreography, bitch. She looks sick. Oh, yeah.
She can do that, like, turn, you know, side step, like, real quick. Oh, bitch!
Dude, she is
this is why she's a lip sync assassin. Yeah, like.
Okay, bitch. She is hitting it, like. Okay, I love this part.
Come through, Korea.
She's like, okay, give me a sec to get my breath.
Trinity sweats on stage after she does this stuff because she's working real fucking hard.
Okay, bitch, are you ready? Are you ready?
Oh. I know, that's right.
The way that she's moving in those heels is out of control.
I was gonna say, you know what she could eat up? Like a roller skate lip sync? Like she could really do that. Like,
yes.
She has the poise.
Now, bitch.
Oh, yes.
Bitch. Bitch.
Raised up. Oh, oh my god. What do you call this kind of choreography? Like,
I don't know, girl, but I'm living. I just love this 7-minute disco mix, like.
The way she's like twice as good as like the best, you know, like backup dancer, honestly.
I love the little shimmy choreography where she's like just vibing. My thing is, I believe that she's singing this song. Like, if you told me this was her, I'd believe you.
Yeah.
Oh my god, give me the fantasy, girl. Give me the fantasy. So, like, All-Stars winner, right? Correct? Like, this
That's
is
what I'm
the
saying.
Winner
like,
of All-Stars.
If she doesn't win, it's absolutely fucking criminal. Like, she can do it all. Like,
I just love that one. You know the backup dancer I'm talking about. Who's just really just beaming. Like, he's just happy to be here.
She needs to go on tour, honestly. Like, I could watch her for an entire hour and a half easily.
Iconic,
you better
right?
work,
like, come
bitch.
Come on. Come on.
Amazing.
It's just so good. It's just so good.
Thank you
it's
for sharing that
so
with me.
Good. I'm so happy we watched that together. I'm going to show one. I'm not going to show it. I'm just going to send it to you really fast so you can watch it. But one of my favorite drag performers is Melanie Von Cruz. And if you've never seen it, I'll link it in the description also. It's Melanie Von Cruz at Miss Continental, and she's doing Eurythmics, and it is truly, like, one of the sickest performances I've ever seen. Like, if you want to know what womanhood is, it's this performance. Anyways, let's get to the episode. Yeah.